The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Fred Brack from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and underwriting our program for over 10 years. You can reach them at 919-781-1973. And now we're going to return to the October 2019 edition of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. This is the annual Mountain issue, and today we're going to read about Morganton, a place to which I admit I know nothing. So let's learn together. The heart of Morganton. Merchants and their regulars in this Burke County town have banded together like family, uplifting and reinventing a community rich in nature, compassion, and creativity. There's a photo here. It's a double-page spread under the title. It's a little like outdoor cafe setting in front of a brick building that's two or three stories tall, can't tell quite how tall, on the left, and a lower building made out of bricks stacked in an unusual way and has some floor-to-ceiling windows on the front of it, and there's some hanging lights. You know, the wires are strung and the bulbs are hanging down quite open. I see a bicycle over there and people sitting at tables, and the caption says, "On mild evenings, diners relax under the leafy canopy at Root and Vine Bistro." Among the favorite dishes, the pimento cheeseburger, pimento cheese grits, and the rich bourbon bacon brownie. Overleaf, and sort of a drone's eye view of the Morganton General Store and another store beside it, whose name I can't quite read. Something's written on the window, but I can't tell what it is. These buildings, I must say, my first impression is these buildings and the ones that I can see in the distance behind it are very clean, nicely painted, very neat looking, no graffiti, no paint falling off or whatever. Impressive looking. Lawson Callahan glances up at the clock and furrows his brow. It's 9 a.m. at Pat's Snack Bar in downtown Morganton, and he's wondering where Philip is. "I'm surprised he hasn't been in yet," Lawson says. The 69-year-old restaurant owner is standing in front of the grill, where he's been fixing egg sandwiches and burgers for locals and visitors since he was 26. Philip is Philip Epley, 57, who's been poking his head in the door of Pat's Snack Bar and just about every other downtown business each morning, like clockwork, since the mid-1980s. When Lawson's late father, Pat, still ran the place, Philip comes around to say hi and maybe sit for a spell. "He's a real sweetheart," Lawson says as he wipes his towel across the faded formica countertop where two policemen nurse cups of coffee. "He'll be here before long." The officers smile knowingly. Philip is the unofficial mayor of downtown Morganton. To be sure, this little foothills community of about 16,500, 8 miles north of South Mountains State Park, and about a dozen miles east of Pisgah National Forest, has an official mayor. But folks in the Central Business District will tell you that Philip presides over the downtown streets and over the restaurants and shops that line them. Spend time with any of the business owners or regular customers around these parts, and conversation invariably turns to Philip. Whether at an early morning meeting at Morganton's Friday Coffee Club at Grind Cafe, at a power lunch at Homer's Soda Shop, or over a quiet dinner on the tree-canopied patio of Root and Vine Bistro. Whether browsing the gorgeous hand-forged iron sculptures and wooden tabletops at the Oak Hill Iron and Wood Showroom, or watching pottery demonstrations at Hamilton Williams Gallery and Studio, about a half mile northeast on Union Street, Philip MCs local concerts and events at nighttime, hot spots like Brown Mountain Bottle Works, and sits in on daytime performances at the Natural Olive, a gourmet olive oil and food shop a block and a half away. He plays drums with local bands, and he strolls the downtown streets, tote bag in hand, ducking into all the front doors. He gets to know the travelers, too, the hikers, rafters, climbers, and other outdoor enthusiasts who spend their nights in Morganton bars, restaurants, and hotels before heading off to explore the surrounding mountains. And all the while, Philip connects the local bartenders to the local politicians, the artists and musicians to the cops on the beat. "People do know me, and they hear my voice, and they love me," Philip says matter-of-factly, but with a bashful smile. "I walk all over town. I'm very proud to be from Morganton." Developmentally disabled since childhood, he was born and raised in nearby Glen Alpine and later attended Morganton's West Concord School, which at the time was a school for exceptional children. At 20, Philip, his brother, and their mother moved closer to downtown to the house where he still lives today. It's just a few blocks from Pat's Snack Bar and the Grand Burke County Courthouse at the top of the hill, which, like Philip himself, is at the heart of the city. These days, Burke County bills itself as nature's playground. But Morganton, its seat, didn't start out as a hub for tourists looking to explore the nearby rugged Linville Gorge, the spectacular 80-foot-tall High Shoals Waterfall in South Mountain State Park, or the 154 miles of rippling shoreline around Lake James. It began life in 1784 as a court town, and by the mid-1800s, it hosted the North Carolina Supreme Court's summer sessions. During the latter part of the century, two institutions, the Western North Carolina Insane Asylum, now Broughton Hospital, and the North Carolina School for the Deaf, were established in Morganton, beginning the town's long-standing support system for people with specific needs. To retired Morganton attorney Scott Wisnett, the city's history as a headquarters for those institutions has given residents a more nuanced understanding of people with different abilities. One of the nice things about Morganton is that we deal with people with special needs every day because we have all these state institutions around us, he says, during a coffee club gathering at Grind. Those places broaden our perspective about our citizens. Clothier Benjamin Belton arrived in Morganton in 1977, just 29, and fresh from working in the Triangle area as a buyer for a corporate menswear shop. He had a vision and bought a little storefront at the corner of Sterling and Union to open an eclectic clothing shop, which he and his wife called Benjamin's and Libba's. "I was in search of an identity," says Benjamin, now 67. "I don't like anybody telling me how to put clothes together, because then you become a clone, like every other store. I like to run and dodge and shoot from the hip." Born in Mount Airy and schooled at Appalachian State University, Benjamin says that he felt comfortable moving to a small foothills town. Besides the Hickory, Morganton, Lenore area, Area's robust furniture industry attracted customers who were looking for something a little different. A lot of creative people who understood fashion came into our region back then, he says, so it was important for us to always be looking for what's new, what's next, and what's different. In the early 1980s, though, the area had become stagnant. Buildings were aging and people weren't coming downtown much anymore. Morganton had to reinvent itself. In 1982, a year after Philip's family moved downtown, the city became one of seven in North Carolina, along with Clinton, New Bern, Salisbury, Shelby, Tarboro, and Washington, to adopt the Main Street program. in which millions of dollars were pumped into revitalizing small, aging towns. At the time, Morganton still had a thriving furniture and textile manufacturing workforce, and over the next decade, new energy downtown began attracting a younger, more adventurous crowd that might once have traveled the hour west to Asheville for restaurants, galleries, and music venues. By the 90s, things began changing again. In 1990, manufacturing still employed 49% of Morganton's workforce. By 2008, only 27% worked in manufacturing, while a whopping 51% worked in the service industry. Morganton's pivot from textiles to tourism was a natural progression. With an already thriving creative community and easy access to an array of mountain adventures, the town is small enough to retain a local feel, a place where people know each other and look out for each other. From the 90s and 2000s until now, it's been a slow process of building back and reimagining the town, Benjamin says. He points out the window of his shop to a row of businesses across Sterling. See those buildings there? We have condos in the upper level now, he says, and we just finished one down the street that was an old post office from 1932. The old soda shop downtown has been transformed, too, into a hip Oyster Tapas and Cocktail Bar. Owners Jamie McGimsey and Courtney Morse kept the original name, Homer's Soda Shop, and brought a little whimsy to the place when they took part in the National Pop-Up Cocktail Party Evening event during its first year in 2018. Homer's was one of 90 locations around the world to host the Christmas-themed Miracle Pop-Up Party. Like other participants, Jamie and Courtney strung up Christmas lights and served seasonal drinks and foods for their miracle on Union Street. But when it was over, they didn't take down the lights. Courtney says the year-round holiday theme gives Homer's a festive and kitschy vibe that attracts the kind of folks who gravitate to the city's gallery crawls, concerts, and art performances at the City of Morganton Municipal Auditorium. Jamie smiles as he busses a table nearby. Although everyone inside Homer's can be running smoothly when he and Courtney open the doors at 11 a.m., he says, it's not a good day until Philip has come by. Back at Pat's snack bar, Lawson looks out the front window and brightens. There he is, he says. It's Philip, wearing a yellow polo shirt, tucked tightly into bright yellow shorts, tan socks, pulled up practically to his knees, and a big smile across his face. He ambles in the door, says his hellos, and plops down on a stool, his tote bag falling on the floor next to him. 3 years ago, it looked as though Philip's days of walking Morganton's downtown streets could come to an end. His mother, who had been his safety net, died from cancer in 2016. Professionals suggested that Philip might be better off at a special needs home where he would get round-the-clock care. To his friends and family members, this was unacceptable. The city's downtown merchants and denizens banded together around him. Brown Mountain Bottle Works threw a big birthday bash and benefit concert in December, and now that's become an annual event known as Philip Fest. People from all over town showed up for the inaugural show, and Philip, the popular MC that he is, announced all of the performers. If Philip was in any other community, I'm not sure he'd be as well looked after as he is here, says Keith Suttles, a retired North Carolina Forest Service employee, who today works at Brown Mountain Bottle Works. Other communities might marginalize him, but he's somebody in town. Right now, he's somebody at Pat's Snack Bar, which is sort of a microcosm of the city, a family-run business eager to adopt new family members. We've been in the restaurant business since, about the mid-40s, Lawson says. My grandmother was in the business, and sometimes we had four or five places going at once. He motions to his daughter to the left, taking an order from a customer, and his nephew to his right, fixing an egg sandwich, just like his uncle does. It's still a family business. Lawson continues. He pauses and looks up at the photo of his father, Pat, that hangs above the front door. We have a lot of new people moving into Morganton from bigger places. It's just a big old melting pot. Always has been, but now more than ever. These are some of the places we mentioned in this article. Benjamin's and Libba's, that's the clothing shop on North Sterling Street. Benjaminslibbas.com. Brown Mountain Bottle Works on East Union Street. BrownMountainBottleWorks.com. The Grind Cafe on West Union Street. TheGrind.Cafe. Hamilton Williams Gallery and Studio on East Union Street. HamiltonWilliams.com. Homer's Soda Shop on East Union Street. They don't have a website. And neither does the Natural Olive on East Union or Pat's Snack Bar. But Root and Vine does on West Union Street. It's RootAndVineRestaurant.com. Interesting ad here. It's a white piano with a man in a white and black striped, almost like a zebra, cocktail jacket and a bow tie. He's playing the piano while a couple dances in front of the piano. It says, "Find your own rhythm. Crafted cocktails and dancing at piano bars, farm-to-table eateries, Broadway shows at Majestic Theaters, overflowing with vibrant variety. Wilmington and its island beaches are enjoying a renaissance. From historic downtown dining and celebrity chef restaurants to ocean-inspired menus full of flavor, choose to stray off course." They have a website, too, WilmingtonAndBeachesNC.com. We will move now to the next article, but first I'd like to remind you that you are listening to Our State Magazine on the North Carolina Reading Service. If you have any comments on our program, please call the studios 919-832-5138. Iron and Artistry. In a shop outside of Morganton, a modern blacksmith and his wife turn elemental materials, metal and wood, into elegant works that can be found all over town and beyond. This is written by Mark Kemp. A bearded man in goggles and earplugs leans over a blacksmith's forge and carefully slices a hole into a hunk of glowing red-hot steel. Behind him, the rat-a-tat-tat of a pneumatic power hammer plays like percussion along with the whirring and buzzing and grinding of other machinery. This modern blacksmith is making hammers inside of Oak Hill Iron's 6,750-square-foot shop in the rolling hills northwest of downtown Morganton. Dean Kerfman, Oak Hill's founder and co-owner, stands a few feet away, explaining what the blacksmith is doing. "It's a process called slitting and drifting," he says. "We start out with a block of steel, then we hot punch a hole in it, drive drifts in it, and then shape the head." He points to a fully made hammer. That's what we end up with. Hammers are hardly the only thing that Oak Hill Iron ends up with. The company's tool-making component, Big Blue Hammer Manufacturing, also makes tongs, chisels, anvils, and other instruments used by blacksmiths around the country. But what Oak Hill is perhaps most famous for, at least in North Carolina, is the extraordinary metal artwork that you can find all around the state. In Morganton alone, Oak Hill's footprints are everywhere. Walk into Fontaflora Brewery on Union Street and order a cold craft beer. The forged iron tap handles that the bartenders pull were made at Oak Hill. Dean and his team made 12 of the benches that are scattered around downtown. The 13 iron sculptures that serve as dividers in the parking lot behind the Oak Hill Iron and Wood Showroom on South Hill King Street. And the iron gate at the entrance to an alleyway across from Mad Paperback Book Exchange. Oak Hill has made highway markers for Wilkes and Caldwell counties, a 12-foot-tall wagon wheel for the town of Hickory, and a 30-foot-long train silhouette for Valdez's town hall. And that's not including all of the railing that Dean has made for private homes or the fireplace screens that look almost cubist, something like Picasso might have created if he'd been a blacksmith in the North Carolina foothills. Everything he does is art. Everything, says Dean's wife and business partner, Lynn, a designer who also oversees Oak Hill's merchandising and showroom. Dean has been making things and making things to make things with since he was a teenager. Born and raised on a Pennsylvania dairy farm, the 59-year-old metal artist began working in construction at 17 and had his own building supply center and construction company by his early 20s. He was drawn to blacksmithing when he realized that he could make tools himself for a lot less than if he bought them. By 1986, he'd grown tired of the cold Pennsylvania countryside and moved to the more moderate Morganton area, where he purchased a 140-year-old two-story farmhouse on 25 acres of land. 10 years later, he opened Oak Hill Iron. Dean met Lynn while working on the same home renovation project in 2009. She'd spent the previous 20 years working in furniture merchandising. The pair began collaborating, and in 2011, they married. Lynn brings her eye for design to Dean's creations, and she played a role in Oak Hill's expansion into woodworking in 2013. We'd seen a bunch of trees that had come down, and the limbs had been sawed off for firewood, but the trunks were headed to the dump, she says. At the time, natural edge furniture designs, tabletops, and other pieces that retain the shapes of the original wood were growing in popularity. The style fit well with Dean's rustic metal art. We thought, what would happen if we started sawing wood here? Back at the shop, Dean makes his way through the metalworking area and reaches a door at the back. It opens to reveal a massive pile of tree trunks and a shed stacked with slabs of lumber. He pans his tattooed arm from his sawmill building at the edge of a dusty gravel road to his workshop and three kilns, one of which he built himself. This is a solar kiln, he says. It's low and slow, but the sun takes care of everything. It's very energy efficient. The energy at Oak Hill today is an equal balance of Dean's and Lynn's talents. In the decades since she joined the team, which includes 12 other blacksmiths, woodworkers, and office personnel, the line between art form and function is blended seamlessly. When we go look at a job, Dean says, I'll draw something and ask her, what does this look like? And she'll give me an honest opinion. That looks awesome! Or that looks like crap. And if she says it looks like crap, she can tell me why. She knows what she's talking about because she went to school for it. I have it innately. And that combination works well, whether Oak Hill is making hammers for other blacksmiths or beautifully detailed railing for a spiral staircase in a high-end condo. If you'd like to visit Oak Hill Iron and Wood, they're on South King Street in Morganton. And they have a website, of course, oakhilliron.com. Well, we have a few more minutes left, so let's whip up to the front of the magazine and look at some of the shorter articles that we can read. How about this one on page 28? It is entitled Asheville French Toast, and it's part of the We Live Here Gathering Place series. Raise a glass at this Paris-inspired bookstore and champagne bar, where old-world European style meets old-school Southern hospitality. If it weren't for the Blue Ridge Mountains visible in the distance from downtown Asheville, you might think that you had time travel to the 1920s, Paris, when you arrive at Battery Park Book Exchange and Champagne Bar. Dark wooden bookshelves offering about 25,000 volumes fill three levels. Leather couches on the first floor and club chairs tucked into nooks throughout the space are spots for tete-a-tetes over cups of coffee or glasses of wine from a list of nearly 100. Ensembles from the city's thriving gypsy jazz scene perform classics in the style of Django Reinhardt. You'll even hear conversations en français around the big table on the second floor. Three local French clubs are among the many groups that gather at the landmark store that Thomas and Donna Wright opened a dozen years ago, marrying his love of books and her love of champagne. We try to have a little something for everyone, Donna says, and it's true of both the books and the beverages on offer. The store's collection is especially strong to Southern history, and its glass-fronted section of rarities has included signed copies of Gone with the Wind and To Kill a Mockingbird. The wine bar has become a departure point for food tours of the city organized by Eating Asheville, and the Wrights have started hosting groups from wedding parties to real estate agents looking for a little Parisian flair. Don't mistake the dog on the door's logo for a French poodle, though. It's a Bouvier de Flandre, a breed that the Wrights love, and it's a signal to the other dog owners that their well-behaved pets are welcome here, too. Battery Park Book Exchange and Champagne Bar at Page Avenue in Asheville, batteryparkbookexchange.com. We'll poke away here at Pine Level, Great and Small, at a furniture store in Johnson County. Every customer, whether they buy a sofa or a screwdriver, is part of a family tradition more than a century in the making. Terry Arthur remembers running around Pine Level Hardware and Furniture as a child, playing in the showroom and chatting with the customers, while her grandparents ran the store and her mother kept the books. The 106-year-old Johnson County institution still sits at its original location on North Peden Avenue in Pine Level, where Arthur's great-grandfather, great-uncle, and their partner started the business in 1913. Her parents, Leon and Merle Godwin, took over a few years later. My grandparents were very smart, hard-working people, Arthur said. After Arthur's grandparents passed away, her mother, Merleon Rose Creech, asked if she wanted to help run the store. Without hesitation, Arthur said yes. She told me, as long as we're having a good time, we'll keep on doing it, Arthur said. That was in 1977, and they've been working together ever since. Part hardware store, part furniture showroom, the business allows Arthur and Creech to play both large and small roles in the lives of their customers, whether helping out with an everyday need, like hanging a picture frame, or consulting on a more momentous occasion, such as furnishing a new home. It's important to me if they buy a pound of nails or if they buy a living room suite, Arthur says. Everybody's important to everybody. Arthur's son, Elliot, is now the fifth generation to work at Pine Level Hardware. Arthur hopes that he'll continue to run the store when she retires, but that won't be anytime soon. For now, she's there every day helping customers and balancing the books, just like her mother, still the shop's owner at age 89, used to do. Once in a while, we'll look at each other and say, "Are we still having a good time?" Arthur says, and the answer has always been yes. Pine Level Hardware and Furniture is on North Peden Avenue in Pine Level. PineLevelFurniture.com. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you enjoyed it, and you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Comments, questions, call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long, until next time.